up to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by 10 Tavern. Fashion furniture across from River Park. Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. And by Blast and Brew.
Hung on, that's a deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You are in the zone. On a beautiful Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern, the corner of Willow and Nice, on a 76 degree day.
There you go.
It's Nick and Nick, the big cat back in the house. We're going to talk about his recruiting trip with Cole, Montana, and all over the country.
All over the country.
But for 10 Taverns, got it going on. Amy Bo Peep is on location today.
Well, she's kind of been missing it lately. I think maybe she's
busy girl mom.
Mad at you or something, maybe.
No, she loves me.
She loves you.
Yeah, okay. Amy Bo Peep is the bomb. And we do know the table next door is being getting – it's packed, well, but get in.
What's the table
it
next door?
It is a beautiful little – I would call it the table 40 table. Fits 40 people, but it's going to be your Christmas party, Thanksgiving, baby shower, wedding – birthday, soccer, whatever, but it's beautiful right next door with the brunches are on Sunday. They're going crazy. This is the place to be, 10 Tavern. What corner of what?
Willow and Nice.
And I'm also
under the big
clock. Giant clock. And where do you order that anyway? I need a 12-foot clock.
Probably some Amazon app or something. It'll probably show up the next morning.
I gotcha. Also want to thank Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. You were in a big meeting in San Diego. What did we learn from Helena? That you can help out with the farmers.
Oh, always looking for new technology. Always looking at information, Nick. Information is where it is. You got to keep up with information. You can imagine, like, if you want to go to a doctor, for example, because you're having surgery, you want to go to a doctor that's not up to speed on new technology, new ways to do the surgery, if that's what you're going through. There's so many different things that are going on in agriculture to try to help with water management, you name it, information, soil sampling, smart sampling, let's call it that now, tissue sampling, and so many other things that you can focus on to try to reduce the input. That's the name of the game. Try to get it done with have the same yield, same goals, but the input would be less.
You're going to help out a farmer A to Z.
A to Z, buddy. We're like what'd you call us? I think
you're a trainer.
There you go.
You're a physical trainer for that tree to get them back in the game when it comes to maybe next April, May, June, whenever it is.
Perfect.
You want to make money. You want to put money in their pocket. And this is what Helena – and we still want to meet Tiffany. And you can call Tiffany, the famous Tiffany, at 559-261-9030. And that's the number to call Tiffany, 559-261-9030. 30, she answered the phone. Good afternoon, Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. May I help you? Yeah, I got some trees out in Fireball, and I've got some problem. I got 50 acres. It looks good in the other 300 acres. It's just not – I can't get the crops off the tree and make – I don't know. I need help. And she will direct you to the right location.
Absolutely. And there's a great location out right in the middle of Fireball.
Literally.
Full application. If you want us to come out and spray your orchard for you, no problem.
You know what's weird about that? We're on Willow and Nice, but that is West Nice way out there.
Way out there.
I mean, I didn't even know Nice, but that if you run in the Nice, you'll just continue to go.
Yeah, it's right. Amazing. Do you know Fresno County is the biggest agricultural county in the nation?
Yes.
You see that?
And we would like to have some water for the farmers instead of going it out to the ocean, but that's a farming show that we don't want
to
get into.
I think there's a lot more to water than the going out to the ocean, my friend. There's going to be a lot more about water. You're going to start to learn a lot more about what's going on behind the scenes in terms of water and water management within the different areas, and there's timelines, not to get into that, but boy, it's going to be interesting by the time we get to 2025. A lot of things need to happen in terms of reporting and how to replenish the groundwater, Nick. You take enough groundwater away from the ground, you're going to have to figure out how to put it back. And if you can't put it back, then you're going to have to reduce the amount of acres you're farming in order to put it back, right? So I'm kind of doing some bullet points to you, but the water thing is going to continue to become a major challenge in the San Joaquin Valley.
It'll be a challenge for the rest of our life in California.
Never. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I found out today, not to talk politics right now, but I think, not to even mention names, but I think we're doing a lot of different things out there. Shampoo bottles and hotel rooms. I think we're not going to use plastic bottles anymore. That's been ruled banned, by the way. And what was the other thing I told you about today that I sent you a text on that I thought was an interesting one that was going to continue to become an item for discussion? And it was about the continue to reduce plastics and things like that, right? So, well, this one here, I don't know if we want to talk about that one, but that one's one that popped
up.
No,
we don't want to get into that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's when we have our midnight show.
I'll let everybody just jump into the headline news for California, and I'm sure you'll probably understand what we're coming at.
Well, I know one place we don't want to have water right now, and that's in St. Louis as the baseball NLCS gets going, as the America's team will host the Washington Nationals. Of course, we're talking the St. Louis Cardinals. And are you a Dodger fan? I've talked, Nick, about five Dodger fans who they will not talk about it. They're still in mourning, a losing the other night. And the problem is, Nick, the pressure was on the Dodgers. They are built to get to the World Series, but they have a horrible manager. He doesn't know how to manage the playoffs. I told you that three straight years. And so, Dodger fans, I don't know what to tell you. I really thought it was your year to go lose to Houston in the World Series again. No one's beaten the Houston Astros. Or maybe, you know, the Yankees have a shot. But those two, whoever wins that American League's got to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, well, Dodgers.
You know a lot of Dodger fans.
Is there a lot? What do you want me to tell you about the Dodgers? I'm going to tell you about the Dodgers. The Dodgers should have won the World Series, right? Right? Shouldn't they win the World Series? I would think so.
They're supposed to.
They're supposed to. Is it the personnel? Is it the management? Did you put the wrong pitcher at the wrong time? Baseball is baseball. It doesn't matter if you're the best team. There's so much mental things that go on with baseball. Nick, you play baseball. You understand how that all works.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, when you have the Minnesota Twins that went over 100 games, you have the Los Angeles Dodgers that went over 100 games, that's a pretty good season. And to have it all go away just like that for the Dodgers, especially against the Nationals, my question is, where's Bryce Harper right now? Does he still wish he was playing for the Washington Nationals? Or is Bryce Harper happy he's still playing for the Philadelphia?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. And they fired their manager in Philadelphia. And you got this is why managing. You got great talent in Philadelphia. And they don't produce it. His fault? Difference is Dave Roberts gets to the playoffs, and he turns into a nut job, and he starts out thinking himself. He starts putting in, first of all, the other problem, I know Kate Kershaw, what a great guy in the press conference. Listen, he needs to develop another pitch. He's got a fastball, and he's got the lollipop curveball. That's it. So if I'm a hitter, I'm either going to sit fastball or lollipop curveball. He's got to develop another pitch.
Well, is it time for him to develop anything, or is he about wrapped up?
No, he doesn't throw the 97 anymore. He's at 90, 92. But if he can develop another pitch, that's going to help.
So tell me about Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts, I think, outthinks himself in the playoffs. He starts thinking too much, oh, I got to put all lefties in, or, boy, he's throwing I got to get Kershaw for an inning. He's thinking too much with his pitching, and it cost him again.
So what happens to Dave Roberts in the – I mean, are the Dodgers going to make a move there?
I don't know. You won 106 games, so how do you do that?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many games you win. Ultimately, their goal isn't to win 106 games. Their goal is to win the World Series.
You know who's loving it? The Giant fans.
Well, sure. I mean, that's why social media is so fun anymore. I mean, it depends on what side of the fence you're on how well you like social media on that particular situation. But, man, I've seen some stuff out there. It's amazing what happens when one person loses, and all the blame goes on that person within just two or three innings, right? That's all it took, and the whole world hates you.
Really thought the game was over and it was 3-0.
Yeah. Everybody did.
Yeah. I mean, here comes another Cardinal. Cardinals scored 10 in the first.
That's a joke. Okay, so is that a record? It's a record.
Yeah, I think it has to
be. It has to be. It's a set a record. Who shows up for the final and gets hammered? How many pitchers showed up for that inning?
How would you like to have tickets? You get there, honey, pack the car. It's almost – they're in the first inning.
Yeah, you spent $10,000 a ticket. Maybe you're the Marlin guy and you're behind the plate,
and you're
sitting there.
Is that a misprint? Gladys, is that a misprint? It says 10 on the scoreboard. That's not right, right? Yeah, they know they scored 10. Game over. Unbelievable. But you know what? We're playing with house money. We're not supposed to be here. We can't swing. We got Paul Goldschmidt, best hitter in almost baseball, one of the top five. He's the only guy who can hit on the whole team.
Goldie.
He's the all-star. The rest, we lead the country in called third strikes. You watch how many called third.
And you guys came out west, and I think the Giants almost swept you.
Yeah, it's just we're a very streaky team.
Well, that's okay, though. That's kind of like reminds me of the Giants when they won the World Series that year. They were the wild card, right?
Yeah.
The last time they won.
But you know what? This year, Nick, I think anything can happen. If the Astros can go five games, which I thought with that pitching staff is going to be untouchable, I think the American League, that's going to be fun to watch Aaron Judge against the Astros. That's going to be fun.
If you're somebody that's a Dodger fan and you're in California, or especially Central California, San Joaquin Valley, let's say, I hope you're going to be rooting for the Yankees at this point.
Yeah, you got to go.
Okay. What other hometown heroes do we have out there that's still playing? Do you know? That, top of your head, because you're such a smartest guy here.
Well, the America's team, you got to root for the Cardinals. That's all I care about.
Well, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, is there any hometown heroes that are still out there besides Aaron Judge?
Well, we have Triple Eight Frizzle Grizzlies, and that's Houston. Or that used to be Houston. Now you got Nationals, who are Frizzle Grizzlies.
Connection.
So you got to go that route.
Got to go that route.
But you got to take the Cardinals over Washington. It's going to be fun. You're right. Bryce Harper's not playing. I just love that story. Here he is, the $800 million player is leaving for money, and his old team is there.
Yeah, without him, and they're going on.
Play as better as a team, right?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the game?
I think it's great. They call that karma, don't they?
I love karma sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Depends.
Today we're going to talk with Jim O'Brien, the head coach of the Fowler Redcats, because I'm going to be out there tonight. Friday Night Lights, I'm going to give more smaller schools a love because they appreciate it. The big schools around here are very snooty. You can tell the crowds are snooty. They don't show up, except for Clovis East. Those two, when it comes to Division I, nobody brings the crowds like the Cougars and the T-Wolves. Now you got the other three track schools. Combine, they don't equal up the Fowler. It's a sorry, guys. You just don't support your football teams. I don't know what it is. I go to a lot of games. What's the great atmosphere for you? You don't go to a lot of football. Let me tell you. Sanger is right up there with them. Clovis Cougars, Clovis East. I'm looking at all the big crowds. Fowler is just Kingsburg is a great place. I love going anywhere in Visalia. It's just a great – Dos Palos is fun.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
That kind of puts us into that Montana thing that you mentioned earlier. And I will tell you. So the University of Montana, as they say, the Grizz, that's what they like to call themselves up there. If you've ever been to Missoula, Montana is very much a college town.
What do you compare that to around here?
Well, San Luis Obispo, let's say.
Okay. Old Town Clovis? Maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But, okay, so Missoula is like, I don't know, less than 40,000 people, maybe, let's say.
Okay.
I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that. 40,000 people. Division I athletics at University of Montana. The only thing it's not is football team. But they might as well be Division I because I have never been to a Division I AA football game that was that packed ever, 27,000 people. Packed.
Sold out.
Fireworks and people running around, mascots, you name it. I mean, huge, huge, and I say huge, tailgating going on. Encouraged. The town's packed. There's parades going on downtown. People are everywhere in the bars celebrating. And they do that every weekend that they're playing a home game. That is called wonderful football. They do that with their basketball. Okay, so, all right, Nick, well, it's a small town, so they got nothing else to do. Okay, great. I'm just saying the environment that you mentioned on some of these towns outside the area.
That's how it is.
That's how it is.
You pack
up
that.
So you went to high school at Fowler in 1927, yeah. And here you come with your old letterman's jacket on and your seat cushion, and you're going to the game for life.
We're shutting down the downtown to go to the game.
That's it, and that's – why I think, the San Joaquin Valley still has a lot of those type of towns where there are those towns exist throughout California. But here, because of the rural nature of where we are, you find that probably more often than you do elsewhere.
Now, I got to give credit. Bullard High School last week when we did the Bullard Memorial game, it was our homecoming, packed. They had more. They had a ton of students as well, so I got to give them props as well. There's just some schools support and some, you know, I'm not going to the game tonight. We've got other things to do.
So, by the way, just to kind of put a little exclamation point on Montana, pouring rain, 27,000 people.
So, how big is the stadium?
That's packed. That's
so, if they had a 35,000 seat stadium, they packed it out again?
Probably.
Yeah.
And the way I could see it is that they've expanded the stadium. You can kind of see where they've done this. It's kind of like Alabama, right? They keep building these monster towers and stuff. So what a wonderful place. So that's the atmosphere. Getting onto your recruiting and not getting entirely away from the rural part of your football comments. But recruiting trips, when kids go on recruiting trips and they see those atmospheres where whether it be packing the basketball arena or just having 500 people there, do you think that has some kind of an impact? And a coach told me this. I want you to answer this question. Anybody out there who's got a kid that is being recruited, you can call in as well.
Let me give the number, 844-940-ESPN. 844-940-ESPN. Call Bobby Boy in the studio. He'll hook you up.
So the PAG meter, everybody listening, has always said, would you go to school there if you didn't play the sport that you were recruited by? Well,
so wait, what that means is, are you going to the school because of the coach or the atmosphere?
Right. Okay.
And I think you got to go a little of both, but it's got to be more of the atmosphere, because what's the percentage the coach won't be there in 4 years?
Well, any more? Those are good questions.
Yeah.
And most coaches, and I get it, those are tough questions for any coach, unless they're at a Duke or something like that, to where they got a pretty good contract, and you feel like, well, this is probably ultimately what they've wanted to achieve. That was their goal as they set. Now, the next step for like a guy at Duke would be to get fired or something. Well, you get fired on your own, but to go on to the NBA, let's say, okay? But these other guys that are kind of positioning themselves, they could start here and they want to ultimately go to a higher-end Division I or whatever. It's all about money, right?
Sure.
Everybody wants to make more money, and if you're successful, then you should be paid to be successful. Some schools can pay you more money. Some schools can't. So that's part of the process. But here's what I'm trying to get at. So the coach looked at this player that happened to be recruited, and he said, how much does that matter about the undergraduate degree? You are a hooper, aren't you? Yes, coach, I'm a hooper. So
what does that mean?
That means you're going to be playing a sport.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're going to go to school, yes. You're not going to be miserable. Playing sports in college, you're pretty much occupied.
It's a job.
You're regimented. You're at practice. And it's like, okay, well, how cold is it getting in Montana? Well, are you a hooper? Yeah. Well, then you're probably going to be inside this place all winter long, because that's when the season of basketball is. So I just kind of sat there. I didn't sit there. The person who was there was sitting there. And that was a great point. I thought that was a good way to look at it, is that you don't always have to say, hey, and if something goes down at that school because the coach leaves, then you transfer to a different school. That's all. The gate's open for you to transfer if the guy leaves.
That's true.
With no penalty.
And you have to sit out?
Not if the coach leaves.
No, you still got to sit out.
Oh, no, he can sign off. There's rules going to be changing here shortly. You watch.
Well, that's what I would say.
I think you get a hall pass in high school, regardless if the coach leaves or not. You get a hall pass. In college, if the coach leaves, you get a hall pass. You go right away. You play anywhere you want to.
But if that's the case, don't you think they wouldn't be firing coaches? Because now they got to say, well, God, if we fire Eddie LeBaron, if he fired, we might lose our six best players.
There you go. Unless they're horrible.
Yeah, then you got to really think about that.
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. We'll talk with Jim O'Brien, the head coach of Fowler. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk a little girls volleyball. And then we're going to just bring up – we're going to have the phone number out, and we're going to just – I want to see the enthusiasm for Fresno State. I'm not seeing a lot of Bulldog, except for here, but I don't see a lot of Bulldog gear walking around town. I think we got to start getting fired up again. It's football season. Let's take a break. We're live at 10 Tavern, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Let's roll.
Are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, on a beautiful Friday, I think it's officially fall weather. I think it's been great this week. It's starting to get a little nippy at night, nippy in the morning. That means it's football weather. We're live inside at 10 Tavern in the corner of Willow and Nice. The hottest place going right now in town is 10 Tavern, Nick.
It's off the hook.
Yeah. charts, hooks, however you want to say it.
People sitting here getting ready. It looks like it got. I see some gear. It looks like people are getting ready for the Clovis West Buchanan game, which is just down the street at Veterans Memorial. Nick,
how many are you looking for? Excuse how many me? People?
Oh, Nick's giving away tailgate passes. That's another thing we've got down here. We've got tailgate passes.
Each for two, for two, the game. Two for each one.
Week after.
That's for week next week. There's no game until next week.
But Nick's busy talking.
Yeah,
we're live right now, everybody. But we thought Nick would just go ahead and take.
We got
side.
Game day live passes for next
That's
week.
That's what we do down here at 10 Tavern.
Well, Friday Night Lights next week is going to be Fresno State night. We are going to be broadcasting special.
That is Friday. You're
Thursday
right.
night, we're going to have the showdown. Is the Redwood Rangers, and if they win tonight, they're going to be undefeated, taking on the Hanford Bullpups, and they're going to be undefeated next week. That'll be our Thursday night game of the week in Hanford. I'm looking forward to that. That's a tough one. You go to Fresno State, you go support your kid. We'll talk about that as well. 10 Tavern, a quarter, Willow and East, and you just said that the buffets on Sunday and that room that holds 40, they call it the table,
Brunch.
Is one word.
Brunch. Giddy up.
It is a giddy up room, and you'll be impressed with the food. Is outstanding, and
tell me about the food.
Oh my gosh, the food.
Should we even talk about
the pack meter pasta? Is off the charts.
Oh,
my favorite here.
My gosh.
Literally, I'm an Italian.
Have you
and
had the
pasta
Italian sandwich
good.
Too?
You've had the Italian sandwich.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I haven't had. I've everything I've tried on that on this menu here is wonderful, and the atmosphere even makes it even better. So that we call that balance, Nick.
Yeah.
Come on down to 10 Tavern and take a peek at this menu if you haven't done so. Oh, by the way, there's a few adult beverages that look pretty tasty as well.
Full-on bar.
A couple huge TVs, a couple TVs out on the patio. You can't go wrong. The weather's perfect right now. Come on and enjoy it. And if you're headed to the football game down the road, stop by quickly, have a quick bite, and head over to the game.
Well, we'll see some Clovis West fans in a little while as Buchanan. 10 Tavern, a quarter, Willow and Nice. And our great host, Matt, and his lovely wife, Amy Bo Peep, come over here and give a high five to Amy Bo Peep. She'll take care of you if you need a reservation. Let's go now to Fowler, because I'll be there tonight for the big West Sequoia League showdown, the Orosi Cardinals and the Fowler Redcaps. Head coach of the Fowler Redcaps, Jim O'Brien on the line. Mr. Jim, how are you?
I'm awesome. How you guys doing?
Jim, give everyone what it's like to a Fowler. I know what it's like. I know baseball, what it's like in Fowler. It's like going to a Texas football game, high school. You guys get it going. Tell everyone what it's just like to go to a game.
It's an exciting atmosphere. It's going to be homecoming tonight, so the place is going to be packed. Food couldn't be any better. Atmosphere couldn't be any better. Crowd is amazing to play for.
Well, here, Jim, this is Nick Anderson. You know, I'm glad you said food because it's kind of like a pheromone. I'm not sure if you know what a pheromone is. It's a rodent attractant or a bug attractant, and the pag meter is the bug. So the pag meter loves to go places where there's great food. That's all he talks about is food. So he's gravitated outside the city limits, and he frequents the rural communities much more than he ever has before, and he speaks so highly of the food down there. So tell us a little bit about your food. We might as well jump into food because it's a hot topic with the pag meter.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got him taken care of. I already talked to our athletic director, Mr. Hammond. He's going to get him some vouchers, so he's going to be able to do a little sampler. Everything from tacos to tri-tip to the track team making homemade smoothies, there's pretty much everything you could ask for out there, and it's all good.
We're talking with Jim O'Brien from Fowler. Nick, let me tell you, if you're not a five-star chef, they don't let you cook out there in Fowler.
Well, this is great because we're talking about rural football. I was telling you I was in Montana, and there's guys out there in the parking lot doing some wonderful tailgating. So when you get to a high school football situation, it's fun to see some people put a little home cooking into some of the food that they're serving out there. And some of these larger stadiums, they won't allow that. They want you to bring in a taco truck or they do something else. And nothing wrong with that. I just think it's kind of got a good feel when you're seeing, hey, you remember Mrs. Anderson had the great tri-tip last month. She's over there doing the barbecue today. We got to go get that tri-tip. I mean, that goes back to that atmosphere that you spoke highly of, Nick.
Oh, yeah. We're talking with Jim O'Brien from the Fowler Redcats, head coach. Jim, big one tonight. The Orosi Cardinals, exciting offense. You guys are starting to play now. You had a very tough schedule to start, and you're getting are you playing your best football right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We had some injuries we had to overcome early in the season. We're honestly two plays away from being 5-1 right now. And, you know, we've had a bunch of injuries and stuff. Our quarterback's healthy. And we're finally doing some good things on both sides of the football. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Jim O'Brien, the Fowler Red Cats. And, of course, tell us about the Rossi Cardinals, because when I saw they hung tough with Carruthers, and I think Carruthers, I watched them play Woodlake, that team is legit. And they got down. I mean, it was what, the final score was like 40-35, something like that. So tell me about Rossi.
Yeah, Rossi has two very good running backs. Number 4 is a stud at tailback, and number 32 is the guy we got to stop. He's their fullback, and both of them started inside linebackers. If we can control those two, we have a fighting chance. They're definitely their best two players on the field, and they can pound the football. They're big and tough.
What's it like coaching in Fowler? Because I really love the atmosphere. I go to watch plenty of baseball out there, and the fans, I feel like I'm in, because we always hear about Texas high school football, how it's a religion. You go to Fowler, and I feel like I'm in Texas or something.
Yeah, it's an amazing environment. You know, the crowd is right on top of the field, you know, very similar to Flores Stadium in Sanger. Very intimate, and the stands are packed and very loud and vocal. It's a lot of fun for the kids to be a part of. The field playing surface is the best field I've ever coached on and played on, and it's just everything about it is top-notch.
Hey, Coach, what in terms of your team, what needs to happen tonight? Pick out a few of your players that need to show up tonight and have big games for you.
We're going to need our quarterback, Vince Hernandez, to step up. You know, this is his second full game starting, coming off an injury from last season. On the defensive side, Isaiah Rodriguez, Emmanuel Padilla, those guys need to have huge games. Vinny Lopez, it's all going to be about those guys stopping the run. We are going to get the ball to all kinds of different guys. We had 6 ball carriers running the ball last game and 6 different guys catching football. So we spread it out very well, and we just need to be on point and make great plays.
We're talking with Jim O'Brien, the head coach of the Fowler Red Cats. And, Jim, it really feels like – I know you got to beat Carruthers in that game week 10 or week 11 – but it seems like every week everybody wants to beat Fowler. You guys are the big team on everyone's schedule because you guys such a tradition. Is there anyone that doesn't want to crush the Fowler Red Cats?
Oh, no. We are circled on everybody's schedule every week, and, you know, we know that. And our mindset is every week we just got to go out and compete and get better each week so we can prepare ourselves for the playoffs. It's a tough road, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a lot of fun and love the competition.
Well, Jimbo, I'm excited tonight to come out to Fowler. Make sure you get out there. I know the downtown's going to shut down early to get over to Fowler Red Cats and the Rossi Cardinals. I'm excited to be there. Best of luck tonight, and I will talk to you tonight.
Hey, thanks, Nick. I appreciate you guys having me on. I look forward to seeing you tonight.
You got it. Jim O'Brien, Nickster.
It's
so much
up.
Fun to go out there.
Yeah, and again, you're fired up right now.
I really am.
It's like you're going to suit up tonight, Nick.
I'm ready. I'm ready to, you know, throw some seam routes.
You just look well at that, and also maybe taking a break and grabbing a tri-tip sandwich. Sounds like that's got a heck of an environment. Now, I would only assume, being the kind of guy you are, that you need to take some great photos of some of this great food and make sure the world understands what they do down there and how they go about it.
I would love to see some of our Division I schools go out there and get educated of what Fowler, Kingsburg, teams like that do. Because I don't know, I just – why are we so stuffy in some of these schools around here?
I mean,
the kids got more to do here.
Is that a political question?
No, it's a sports question.
We're okay on that
one? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, those are there's a lot of rules, right? And that's probably what people complain about more now than ever before is so many rules and what rules do. And if rules are so many of these rules, then fans stay away because not just the fans, but just people like you, right? There's things that prevent people from showing up. It's like working for a company that's got 85 million rules and you don't like it, so you go find someplace else. Maybe it's smaller or whatever. That's your own decision. But you don't want to do that to high school football because high school football shouldn't be that way. I might say not have rules, but at some point you got to kind of let some things happen. Food is one of those items that people freak out about. Buchanan, I like the stadium down there, but I don't like the stadium because I don't think it's a football stadium.
It's too big?
It's too big. The track makes it tough. Now, if that was all pushed together and closer to the field, I think you'd have a much better environment. Still got to put people in the seats, but having that track there, you're far removed from the field.
Yeah, no question. Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little girls volleyball. The PAG meter rankings are coming out tomorrow for girls volleyball. A little secret, Clovis North will be the number one team, Stockdale number two, followed by Liberty of Bakersfield number three. That's all I'm going to give you right now, a little hint. But we got good volleyball here. We're going to talk with Tyler Ortman when we come back, he's a former volleyball player, but he's involved with plenty of girls volleyball. And I really believe, just like girls basketball, girls volleyball is on the rise. And I see little girls playing it, and I think, you know, compared to boys, Nick, we don't have a team in Fresno State. We have a club team. But with girls here, Fresno Pacific, you get more opportunities to play at the next level. Do you see that too?
Yeah, I see that. And I got some things to add to that. You've had a lot of friends that have played, and it'd be fun to talk about that. I look forward to that conversation.
Let's take a quick break. We are live at 10 Tavern, brought to you by Helen Agri Enterprises, LLC. Amy Bo Peep is not here today. She's out on location. But we will keep you covered with all the new things. Maybe PAG Meter Pasta will show up at our table and we can talk about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with Nick and Nick, the PAG Meter, along with Nick Anderson here at 10 Tavern. The place is packing. So if you're heading out to high school football, you want to stop in and have some maybe PAG Meter Pasta, you can get the Italian sub, you got cheeseburgers, I see the lobster, what do we call it, the lobster corn dogs here?
Poppers.
Come on down to 10 Tavern in the corner of Willow and East, and what do you have for them, Nick?
Man, I'll tell you, so it's a week early, but it will be Friday Night Lights at Bulldog Stadium, October 18th, 7 p.m. is when the Bulldogs are back in town playing University of Nevada.
Charles Williams will
Las
be back
Vegas,
from the former
UNLV.
Buller Knight. Former Buller Knight will be here, Charles Williams. And you know Vegas wants to come in. That'll be a big one. Of course, Fresno State's got to beat Air Force first tomorrow.
Yeah, that's always a tough one up there. You know, you look at that elevation up there, and you never know what's going on. Air Force is a crafty team. You got to remember, those guys work hard up there. So that's not a gimme. It never is a gimme.
Yeah, well, we're walking on our cell phones and playing with, you know, Twitter and Facebook. Those guys are doing push-ups and sit-ups and cleaning their guns and stuff.
Making sure they look good.
Yeah, look good, no question about it. That is, of course, tomorrow, Air Force, Fresno State. And Fresno State, it would be good to get a big win, a good, precise win tomorrow.
So
we don't want Air Force to hang around. We do have the talent to beat them, but you just said they're very disciplined and they're tough. But if you want some game day live passes, come on down to First and East. 10 Tavern, and we got you covered. Let's go talk a little girls volleyball now.
Love it.
Because my PAG Meter rankings are coming out tomorrow. I think girls volleyball is on the rise. Is Tyler Ortman, am I correct in saying that girls volleyball here in the Valley is on the rise of the section?
Absolutely. Girls volleyball is definitely not just in the section, but in the state in general. I know beach volleyball is growing. It's one of the fastest growing NC2A sports. To go from extracurricular to an NC2A championship, and girls volleyball, it's kind of taken over. I know ESPN Women just posted an article a while back saying it's actually becoming more popular among youth for them to go play girls volleyball than girls basketball, which is pretty big, especially in the Valley where basketball has kind of remained king.
Tyler Orman, well, maybe that's when, you know, Nick and I were talking a couple weeks ago, girls basketball in California is down. I mean, with the quality, it's just not like it used to be. And maybe we're getting more volleyball players now.
You know, that could be it. It's growing. I know it's just one school after another is developing a program. If they don't have women's volleyball, they're getting it. If they don't have beach volleyball, they're getting it. And that's really starting to shape youth in a direction of like, okay, if I got to pick a sport, I might want to go down this volleyball route. It's up and coming. It's new. I mean, Carrie Walsh is doing her P1440, which is trying to transition collegiate athletes into professional athletes that get paid good money. Because, as you know, like, volleyball is not a well-paying sport in the States at all. In fact, you have to go to Europe to really make the big bucks. But with Perry Walsh trying to make it a big deal here in the States, especially on the beach side, it's really a good option for kids to start considering, like, this might be the route for me to go.
Yeah, I think volleyball. Okay, Coach Nick Anderson, I think volleyball, you know, I've watched volleyball a long time. My daughters played volleyball through, you know, well, first part of high school, let's say. Then they went over to basketball. But going to volleyball matches, watching this in the high schools, and this was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was a lot of attendance. I remember going into a Clovis West gym or Clovis North gym, and it's been packed, and that was indoor, right? So, and it was fun. It was exciting. I remember making comments to people about back then even, and you're saying it's on the rise right now. So if it's on the rise, and then I'm basing my experience from 5, 6, 7 years ago, that's crazy because I feel like that was pretty good back then. But getting around to these colleges and looking around at some of the facilities, I can completely understand what you're saying. I'm seeing brand new stand volleyball. I'll call it arenas because there's bleachers. They're putting them in. A matter of fact, I was over in the Central Coast a few weeks ago, and Cal Poly is putting a brand new facility right next to their gym of a brand new sand volleyball arena there. I'm not sure, Coach, if you've seen that yet, but it sounds like the colleges are starting to ramp up. But answer this question. Are colleges providing scholarships for both sand volleyball and, I guess I'll say, regular indoor volleyball, or do the same players play both?
Oh, well, it really depends on the program. Some programs aren't fully funded, so they kind of do it differently. Obviously, you got NCAA rules that apply throughout the whole thing, but, you know, they are definitely offering scholarship for beach and indoor. I know I work with an indoor club locally called Central Cal. We've been sending kids off to college on scholarship. I run a beach volleyball club called Shorebreak. We've been sending kids on scholarship, and there's a lot of money out there for kids who want it and who want to have that college experience, and it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Talk with Tyler Orman. Tyler, given the background, because you played volleyball, what are you, like 6'6", 6'5", 6'7"? What are you?
Close. I'm 6'9".
6'9", so you knew from the get-go, I'm either going to play basketball. Oh, wait, they got volleyball now. Because I know around here, Tyler, boys volleyball, it's just not the same because, you know, the local team here doesn't have a team. They got a club team, but it's not the same. But I think girls are off the charts. But give us the right background for you.
Yeah, so I'm from Southern California. I played volleyball starting my freshman year of high school and kind of fell in love with the sport and kind of had to figure out how to play it. And I was fortunate enough to have some quality coaching experiences and kind of get into college. And so I started my career at SC and then transferred over to Cal Baptist to finish out my time there. Looked at playing pro a little bit overseas in Europe. At the time, I was already married, so I decided to stay in the States. But I definitely have seen the game from the high school level to the college level to kind of dealing with what the pro level looks like. And, you know, it's amazing to see where it's at now from where it was when I played. And that's not that long ago.
So, Coach, men's volleyball, is there as many teams or is there a lot more women's teams at the NCAA level?
Oh, women dominate the sport. I mean, absolutely dominate the sport. And that's okay. I know if you go over to the East Coast, a lot of people will be like, oh, you play volleyball? Isn't that a girl's sport? And you're like, well, yeah, kind of, because it's not big over here. If you look at the demographic of people who are playing volleyball or colleges that have volleyball on the men's side of things, you're going to see a lot of California schools, couple schools sprinkled throughout the northeastern territories, but you're not going to see a lot of volleyball evenly spread on the men's side throughout the country.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. You know, you get some of these schools, and I asked that question because I kind of had an idea of the answer, but I wanted to hear it from you because you know it every day, what's going on out there. But, you know, when you think about volleyball, you think about the coast. It just seems like the beach. Automatically, volleyball, you know, I just, no matter if it's indoor or what's going on, it always seems to carry me to the sand. I don't know why. So I always feel like those schools that are over on that coastal area should have these volleyball teams because those markets would probably encourage a lot of spectators to go. And if you look at some of the schools over there, you know, a lot of them don't have, like, let's just switch over to water polo just for a second. A lot of these schools don't have girls' water polo, women's water polo, Adam, and I think those sports are so dominant when you look at the Southern California market all the way up, and even here in the San Joaquin Valley, we've got a wonderful program similar to what we're doing with volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's untapped. And it's funny because the girls' sport, especially beach volleyball, going to kind of your point of these random places that you wouldn't expect it, I agree with you. When people hear volleyball, they think of the beach, they think of time with family, they think of Karch Karai, of course, if they know anything about volleyball, they think of April and Misty, the three-time Olympians, and all that stuff happened at the beach. But, you know, there's actually schools in the middle of nowhere that are building indoor sand volleyball facilities just so they can have this makeshift beach to open up a beach program, because it is, I mean, it is that popular now. And I think you're totally right with the beach, and that mindset is a really good place to get people started in volleyball. And if it's started and grows on the beach, then it's going to transfer onto the indoor side. Well, if people want to play beach volleyball, they like it so much. Well, what's indoor volleyball like? And that is a really good thought process on the growth of the sport.
We're talking with Tyler Ortman, who we're talking girls volleyball. And I know it's always known the southern section, there's no way the Valley kids can beat them. But last year, Central and Buchanan, we won the whole thing. So we can compete now with the rest of the teams in the state, which is great to see. And I just driving today in Clovis, I see a lot of the middle and the elementary school. They're playing their matches outside. I love to see volleyball. To me, Tyler, watching girls play compared to the men, high school, you get the top spin serve, there's no rallies. Girls, they rally for a while, and it is exciting, like Nick said, when you see some of the big games.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, you have the men's side where they can go up, be big, and just kind of powerhouse through the ball, and that's kind of how the points are gained. Where on the girls' side, it's a lot more technical, a lot more fundamental. And like you said, those rallies, that endurance, and then also that volley IQ, as we call it, where you really have to understand what's going on both sides of the courts to gain leverage and to get points. I mean, that is something that we're seeing a lot in girls volleyball that makes the sport, I wouldn't say more interesting to watch, but it almost feels like you're watching a different sport when you watch women's volleyball versus men's volleyball.
Yeah, and if you have folks out there that are listening, if you haven't been to a volleyball match before, you know, on the girls' side, it's the ball's humming. It's humming. I mean, there's some hits that are just phenomenal. And some of the athleticism that's going out there, it's a fun sport. And Central Cal, you mentioned Central Cal, Coach. Is there anything you want to add out there to the listeners on Central Cal and how that works?
You know, not too much other than the fact that we are trying to grow the sport just like the sport is trying to grow. And so we do youth volleyball for 10 to 18. It's a travel schedule, and we have programs for everyone, who those kids who are new to the sport and just kind of want to try it out and do a clinic, or want to just do like a little, we call it little diggers, where they're kind of understanding what the sport is, or if they want to be on a travel team and kind of go all over the nation and see what it's like to compete and travel and play volleyball versus top-tier teams around the country. So we have that opportunity for everyone.
And, of course, your wife, she's the coach at Fresno City College volleyball, women's volleyball, and they've got a tremendous program over there.
They do, yeah. My wife is the assistant coach for the indoor side and the assistant coach for the beach side, and they are doing big things. I mean, last year I believe they were runner-up in state. This year they have a really, really good group of girls that went in. A lot of girls I had the privilege to coach on the sand and indoors. They're doing great things this year. They are just dominating teams. I think she came home and told me 25-3 versus a recent opponent. I mean, they are doing big things. And then on the other side, on the beach side, last year was their first year having a beach program. They're getting ninth in state. They're competing against teams like Long Beach City and Grossmont, who have dominant programs. Long Beach City is coached by Misty May. Like, the fact that they are even in a state finals versus a team that's coached by a quality person like Misty May is a big deal.
Coach Grossmont, San Diego, correct?
Correct.
So you got some schools down there that historically have been dominant.
But I think with guys like Tyler and bringing up the little tater tots coming up to the system, it's really going to help us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tyler, thanks for hanging out with us today. We're going to get you on more and more because I want to talk about this. I think girls volleyball is on the rise. We want to be a part of it.
I love that. I'd love to talk volleyball whenever you guys would have me.
You got it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Tyler Ortman, Nick, and we're going to talk when you come back. Basketball coaches don't like to share those volleyball players, and we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. We're live right here at 10 Tavern. Thank you to Helena, Agra Enterprises, LLC. Tiffany is just waiting by the phone to call her from Helena, 559-261-9030. And she will direct you to wherever you are, wherever this signal goes from San Francisco to the Grapevine.
That's right. There's somebody out there for you.
And west to the ocean and east to the mountains.
That's right.
Absolutely. We'll be right back for hour two. And coming up, you can come over here and hang out and watch the Cardinals with the Pag Meter. I got my shirt on today. And we'll talk plenty high school football. We're going to talk parents. And we got a lot to talk about because Nick was on location. We'll find out about that as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the show to be at. Keep it tuned to 940 ESPN. You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, come on down and hang out with us. We got Friday Night Lights tonight. I'll be in Fowler, Orosi and Fowler. The world champion Cardinals are coming on pretty quick as they're going to be taking on Washington. We got one of the TVs set for them. We got some Buchanan fans now pointing at us. Buchanan Bears taking on Clovis West High School football right down the road here. It's all happening at 10 Tavern, Willow and Nice, underneath the clock, Nick. And
the other way to look at that, just southeast corner would also work for some of you folks out there.
Or you got to – I got to get my
meter,
GPS.
But some of you no, you don't need a GPS. Just kind of – you've been in this town. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
It's grid pattern here. You can't go wrong.
Come on. The southeast corner, Willow and Nice. Or look for the big clock, okay?
The big cat under the big clock.
Yeah, there you go. But this is the place to be before – this is a great way to get your weekend started. Stop at 10 Tavern. Monday Night Football. Now, next week, we're not going to have a show, but we're thinking about doing a little Monday Night Football maybe. We don't know yet what we're going to do because next week, of course, Fresno State is playing on Friday Night Lights. And then if you're a high school fan, you got to, what do I do? Do I go to Bulldog Stadium? Do I go to support high school? It's a tough dilemma. I don't like Fresno State playing on Friday Night Lights, but because the money's there, Fresno State has no choice.
Well, you got it's all about money at that level, and they try to do the best they can, I think, with the area and the community and taking that into consideration. There was a time where there was much more of that going on than there is now, correct?
Yeah, no question about it. I would love to see when this happens in our area, let's play everyone on Saturday night. Wouldn't that be nice to say, okay, high school, if Fresno will give Fresno State the Friday night this week, we'll play Saturday night.
Saturday might be tough on people in terms of getting them out there. You know how that works. It sounds all good, but it's all about high school Friday Night Lights. That's tradition. That is tradition. That's high school football. This college thing used to be always Saturday. Now it's like you say, it's Thursday. It's Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, game of the week, you know, Tuesday night football. So those are going to continue because of, like you say, marketing, 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 marketing. That's what we do.
Is that what it's called, marketing? Because I think we could do a better job marketing.
That's what the smart guys say.
I want to see. We had Paul Leffler on yesterday. And, by the way, great service today for Ray Ocanto. It was a fantastic job. Paul Leffler did a fantastic job. And it was a beautiful ceremony for a great guy, Ray Ocanto, today. We'll get Brian Marsubian on in maybe the next 2-3 weeks. We'll talk, give some more love to Ray. But, boy, you know you're loved when so many people show up for your funeral. You know what I mean, Nick?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And he touched a lot of people's hearts. There's no question about it. Did a lot of great things. And that part of it's great. Unfortunately, he's not here with us anymore.
Yeah, call us 844-940. ESPN is our number. We're going to talk. Is people fired up for Fresno State football? I don't see people walking around. I did the last 2 years. I saw a red wave and Bulldog. Are you seeing it now?
I mean, it depends on what's going on. It's a typical Fresno thing. You know that. I mean, it depends on what's going on. What's popular? You play against USC. Yeah, all the garb's out. I saw a lot of gear when we were leading up to the season. And I want to see more of that. You know, that's really what gets you fired up about being in that. We talked about earlier, when you start seeing people with gear on, it kind of motivates people. It's kind of like it's tough to get away from that. And other people say, hey, that's a cool shirt. Where'd you get that? The Bulldog Shop. Go down and grab some gear. All that's going to do is continue to motivate fans to get out and watch the Bulldogs play. But going back to, you know, when they played SC and when they played Minnesota, you saw a lot more than what I've seen lately. But that could be just in the right, not in the right spots. But if you got that Bulldog gear, let's get it out, man. It's football season, and, well, it's sports season. It doesn't end. It's basketball coming up here pretty quick, Nick. The Bulldogs are going to be playing before you know it here at the Save Mart Center.
So how's that going to work, Nick? We talk about California wants to be the head cream of the crop when it comes to paying college athletes. So if Cole Anderson, let's say, ends up going to Montana State, and they have Cole Anderson T-shirts and the Bobcat. What are they? Montana Bobcats, right?
Well, Montana State's the Bobcats. Montana is the Grizz.
You're talking Grizz. So let's say they got Grizzly shirts with Cole Anderson on it. Will Cole Anderson get paid for that?
Well, I think that's kind of what they're talking about. They're trying to accomplish.
How's the shop going to make money?
Well, they're going to have to share some of that. But how much of it would they have sold before? If you get a great athlete, let's say, you know, like these five-star recruits, you know, in Kentucky and Duke, and I think those are the guys. What about walking down to Johnny's car lot, and they're going to do an ad for Johnny's car lot? I mean, those are the kind of things that's going to continue to fuel the money part. Okay, so in order to do the ad, we're going to pay you whatever. I mean, that's pretty big money, because some of that money that you might make on that one ad could potentially be almost as much as you're getting paid per month on a scholarship that you're pulling in.
So let's scale it all the way down to high school. Let's say Cole Anderson, or I don't care who it is, Jalen Green, which I'm hearing rumors now he might be going to Auburn. So
yeah, I think it's still all over. He's going to make that decision on December 25th, Christmas Day, and he's going to let the world know what institution he'll be attending next year.
So I'm just saying, down to high school, Cole Anderson, Jalen Green, I don't care who it is, could be any star that's playing in high school basketball. Will it trickle down to, hey, Cole, you know, we want to sign you to a Adidas offer, but I know, you know, there's only six schools you can be looking at because of Adidas. If you want to get paid for Adidas, you're going to have to go to one of these six schools. Well, I want to go the other school, but they carry Nike. Well, how's that going to work out? Now, as a high school kid, because they're going to start trickling down to high school. If you think college kids are going to get paid just to get those high school kids in, they're going to start working that angle.
Well, it's already going on, right? And that's where everybody got in trouble illegally, right, when these schools started, these Adidas schools, you know, these AAU.
But were they giving money away?
They're actually paying them, right?
Oh, geez.
Right now. I mean, okay. There's a lot of that going on. If you're up to speed on any of that stuff, but there's so much of it that's out there that, you know, these AAU teams that affiliated with Adidas or Nike, and I'm not saying all of them, trust me, but there's been some situations where some of those, you know, try to promote some of these kids to play on this Adidas team, and then when you're going about doing that, they're focusing on college teams that obviously what you just said are Adidas teams or Nike teams or whatever you happen to be on. That's been going on for a while. That's when all this thing kind of hit the fan, Nick.
So that's what I want to know. How are they going to prevent kids are young? I mean, so if you're a Fresno State and you're already competing against the big monies of the other schools, now if I'm a Carlos car dealership and I say, hey, I would give you money, but we want to get the players, and I think our marketing says we got to go give it to the top stars in football and basketball instead of giving to the school. Is schools going to start losing?
Well, I mean, those five-star athletes, I mean, there's how many of them out there?
I'm just talking Fresno State. How many athletes will go out, the Marcus McMarions of the world, and make some money out of the deal? How many do we have here? One or two in football, one or two in basketball?
That they would look at in order to go out and promote. Yeah.
Our local Me and Ed's of the world, or Tin Tavern.
Typically going to look at, you know, a point guard or a quarterback or a wide receiver. You're going to see a lot more of those type of finesse positions that are probably going to – the offense side of the ball, you'll probably see more of those type of kids that are going to be able to kind of jump into those type of events, Nick, I would think. the ones that are star, the ones that are on the paper every morning, you know, for how many touchdowns you throw last night, what you're going to be focusing on. There's other, a lot of the other kids aren't going to probably have that opportunity because you got to remember, I mean, a lot of these people don't even know who half these kids are. They're not in the limelight every day. You open up the newspaper, if you do read the newspaper anymore.
Well, those days are over.
Or you take a look at the news. I mean, most of the time you're going to see the quarterback up there, right? It doesn't matter if it's high school all the way through to NFL, NBA. It's going to be the top players.
So if you're a 4 or 5 star, you're going to get the bigger marketing, the bigger schools.
I would think so. And then if you have success, the lower guys end up going to college, and all of a sudden they start grabbing that extra gear their sophomore year and become a player that maybe not everybody thought they were going to become. Then maybe they kind of walk into some of that stuff too.
We're going to take a break, but I want to ask Nick when we come back, to the big schools now, is it going to come down that we can offer you more money? Is that how the big school is going to play this game? Don't go anywhere. We're live at 10 Tavern. We're watching the baseball game. Cardinals and Nationals are starting the show on. We're here getting ready for high school football. We'll be right back, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
It's a Cars Friday.
I love Bobby back at the shop, baby. Bobby playing that music on a Friday night. It's live.
You know, we definitely get a little more energized when Bobby's in there playing the music that you like.
Bobby knows, man. Bobby knows what flies because Bobby remembers that shot from the corner, Clovis West at the Save Mart, or at the Celtic Arena. He's still thinking about that, the music that was probably playing.
See, I didn't bring that up, Bobby. He did. So I just wonder if we're going to get invited when him and Betsy get married. Will we get invited to the wedding?
I don't know. We might have to pay.
Well, I mean,
he said the only way I'm going to let you guys in is if you pay.
Or serve tables.
I wouldn't mind. I could dress up for that.
You know where they need to have the wedding shower? Yeah. Right here. Betsy needs to have it at 10 Tavern. The table holds 40. She will have about 37 people show up.
Yeah.
Have it right here, Bobby. 10 Tavern, Court of Willow Neats. But you got to call Amy, the famous Amy Bo Peep, and get what do you want? Reservation.
Oh, that's a new thing. Reservations. Hey, Bobby, you got to get reservations over here. Yeah. Nick couldn't quite remember what that meant.
I drew a blank because this place is jamming right now. People at the door packed, but you still have room if you're going to go out to the football game tonight. A big one right down the road, Clovis West and Buchanan. Both teams, Clovis West comes in on a big win over Clovis North. Buchanan lost to Central, but Nick, no one's beaten Central
this
year.
Well, now you're really going deep on this.
No, nobody's beaten Central this year. They will be book it down. They're going to be section champs, and they'll either win or lose to Folsom or somebody like that in the state playoffs.
It's just nobody can compete. They're just so athletic out there. You know, and what are your thoughts? I mean, did it catch you off guard last week? And I know you probably talked about this at your show last week. But still, it's Friday night, so I'll bring it up again. Did you ever expect Clovis West to beat Clovis North like that? I mean, that was a whooping.
I really thought it was going to come down to the wire.
Wow.
But see, Clovis North is undecided with quarterbacks. They don't know what to do now. Do they play the senior or the hot junior? And they went with the senior who's struggling a bit. But the junior's new. He can make the great throw, but he can also throw it to the wrong person. It's one of those catch-22s, but Clovis West took care of business.
So, you know, you talk about that. So that's Papa Bear. That's the offensive coordinator for Clovis North, right? Our good friend George.
Big George of the jungle.
Yeah. That's what decisions you make. It's difficult. You try to take strategy, take a look who you're playing against, who's going to be your best fit for the team. And getting that win. But Clovis West, I feel, you know, early on they had those two wins right off the bat, right, early in the season. They've got some players in there. You got Marcel Sanders Jr. I'm not sure if you've seen him play, but he's a member of the basketball team. He's a big dog back there on defense. You see that kid play. He's going to be some good things going on for that kid down the road. That defense, David Piero on the defensive side, I mean, they got some good athletes. They're very surprising to people this year. A lot of people thought they were out.
Well, they brought in Senaway got hurt last week, the quarterback. They brought in a freshman. And, of course, Piero played a little Wildcat. So they moved it, mixed it around last week. But they did a great job on defense. Now tonight, how do they match up with Buchanan and Kendall Milton? Now the Bears lost their quarterback, too. DJ Stevenson went down. So
yeah, how bad is he?
I don't know if – I haven't got any the scoop if he's playing or not, but Kirby is the sophomore quarterback who came in. Now, I think Buchanan can throw better with him. Sanders is a better runner, so they can mix it up. But, boy, Buchanan has a really good defense. And I get all these emails, Pagmeter, how do you have Buchanan at number two? They're 3-3. Well, they lost to Central. They lost to De La Salle, and they lost to Narbonne.
Right.
And there's no one else in the section going to beat Buchanan but Central. That's why they're number two.
So people obviously don't know what they're talking about, right? So because straight the schedule is everything.
Everything.
Right? Kind of like where Alabama is and where Clemson is right now on the 1 and 2. You can complain about that, I guess, if you want to. But it does come down to that. Yeah, there is some things that you do behind the scenes to determine that, Nick. So that's a good point right there. But it's going to come down. It's going to be interesting to see if Clovis West can show up tonight and kind of prove everybody that they are the team that nobody expects them to be. So it'll be a good one. If you're looking for a good football game, head over to Veterans Memorial tonight, Nick, 7 p.m. kickoff.
Let me ask you the big cat, Nick Anderson. So Edison, they got a win last night over Madera 44-36, but it looks like they're going to have two forfeits. They're going to forfeit a game to Dinuba and Matt Johnson's Madera South Stallions. They played an illegal player. Atanoff Harris has resigned as the head coach. There's a mess over there, and I said it when Matt left, and I'm going to blame the old principal. When they didn't take care of Matt, the football program and the basketball program is going to start from ground zero. Your thoughts on the whole Edison deal?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, you think about, you know, Matt was the glue. Matt's what kept things going, and I don't know if people realize how challenging that is to be a football coach. And it really is a lot more challenging when you don't have some support. And again, I didn't experience that, but if you don't have the administration to support you and some of the things that you're trying to do in order to better the program, then that's a tough environment. It's like a college coach going to a college that's not really, they don't really care if they win or lose. So they're more than likely not going to give you what you need, the tools you need in order to go out and recruit and do the things that you'd like to do as a coach, because most coaches want to win, right? But, yeah, Matt's that guy. It'd be interesting to see if they would have done some of those things for Matt if he'd still be at Edison right now and what Edison would be doing, how many of the players that would have been able to retain that ended up going elsewhere and playing for other schools. That's the question mark. You'll never know the answer to that, but you can only assume. How do I feel about that? It's going to be challenging for somebody to come into Edison. Two things. Challenging to come in. It's going to be challenging for them to attract somebody that can actually bring that culture back to Edison.
Great point, Nick. Great point. Because right now, when Matt left, 10 solid players left the Central. And I called it. I said, watch Washington Union. It's going to become a really good program. Central's going to get even better. And look, and Edison's going to turn into a Division II program. It's already happening. Washington Union is loaded now. Central, we know about Central, and Edison is on the ground floor. You don't take care of the football program. You see it at Fresno High now. You're right. The administration has to support the sports program. If they don't love, then they shouldn't be involved with the administration.
So that's Fresno Unified. Bullard's Fresno Unified. Why isn't there the same type of support? Because Bullard has plenty of support for their athletics there, correct?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it helps. Maybe Donnie Arax goes in at Bullard, and he's been there for 20 years.
That's the glue part you're
talking
about.
Yeah, he's the glue part, and he dominates, and he says, this is what I need. I'm going to get it. Matt won an early morning PE, and the old principal says, you're not going to get it. We're a Computech school now. We don't want to – we're not going to do that. He leaves. Atanoff Harris comes in, gets some early morning PE. Matt didn't even have an office. They didn't take care of their coach over there.
He sat up front.
It was embarrassing what the administration did, and now it's cost them a football program. I don't know who's going to coach, and you're right. I don't know who's going to come and take over and start over, because there's some good guys who I think offhand can do a good job, but I don't know.
Well, again, you talk about high school coaches. And we have so many great coaches in the Valley, especially in football. Former players that played at Fresno State, players that played elsewhere that have come back into the Valley and gone and coached at the high school level. But when you start getting some bad stuff going on at some campuses, the attraction's not there. It's going to be more challenging. It's not about the athlete at Edison.
No.
Trust me. They've got great athletes down there. Some wonderful kids go to Edison, and some other wonderful kids have left and gone elsewhere. So it's not about that. It's about attracting the right coach that can bring, like I mentioned earlier, bring that culture back to Edison athletics, Edison football, I should say.
Well, think about it, Nick. If you're, let's say you're, I mean, you've got a kid, you've got, you're going to have three kids in Division I programs, and you're in a high school that, well, we don't have early morning. And I'm not talking football. I'm talking about every sport. Just like Clovis West, Bullard, go all the way around. They have early morning workouts. They don't.
Do they show, do all schools have that?
Well, I think the big schools do. I don't know. That's
a
good question.
I'd be curious to ask different coaches along the way, because I think for things that you feel like are standard, it might not necessarily be standard. I know, like, over on the coast, they don't have that. Talking to different college coaches about that, you know, some of them have come and watched that early morning PE or whatever it is. Once the season gets kicked off, those things kind of kick into gear. They always say, man, you guys sure go hard here. You know, we get to a lot of high schools and watch a lot of practices, and we generally have, you know, a practice here, but there's never that weight training going on, all the things that go on before you even touch a basketball or a football or anything like that. So my question is, I don't know, maybe that's, I didn't grow up here, but I've lived here for since 1992, so it's what I know. But when I grew up, we didn't have those things going on. When you grew up back in the 50s, did they have that type of stuff going on?
No.
See, they didn't. Okay, so we've evolved in.
There you go.
We got a little wire crossed up here. Okay.
We'd like to know. Call us 844-940-ESPN. I think most do now, because when I hear that, but here's the other, the smaller schools got to share those athletes, and every coach is different. So
let's talk about sharing athletes.
Because that's a good question. We talked before the break. Tyler Ortman was saying volleyball's on the rise, but a lot of basketball coaches don't want to share those volleyball players. It's not the same season, but it's close.
That's right.
So how does that work, Nick? If Megan wanted to play volleyball, could she play Clovis West?
Well, she did. They both did.
And how'd that work out?
It gets to a point where you're going to have to choose. You could easily.
Why do you have to choose?
Well, I think, like, let's just talk about, there's some kids that don't choose and they go on and they still play. It all comes down to what that kid wants. Maybe some of these kids don't want to play two sports. It's too demanding already. I also feel that you just mentioned zero periods and all these other things that are going on. If you have all that stuff going on at some point and you never stop, your body is gonna be like an 80-year-old by the time you're a freshman in college.
What if you're a middle school player? Should you play both?
Absolutely. You should play everything you get your hands around. Yeah. I have a good friend, and that was, his kid was playing basketball and football and things like that through elementary school, and it just was, his body just wasn't built for that. But the parents had no idea about other sports because, you know, father played basketball in college. But that kid went out and got in the pool, and he's a water polo player now. And he's a swimmer, of course, because those go combination sports. You have to play those two sports. It's kind of like expected, right?
Yeah.
This kid goes from never been in the pool at all, to all of a sudden becoming one of the best water polo players there is in the Valley right now. That's called. So what I'm saying is that if you don't know, you don't know until you know. And some of these kids are so focused on one sport, and that's all they play because their parents think that's all they should play. Now, if they're good at it, they keep going. But if you're not that good at it and all you're playing is one sport, and you really want to do something maybe later, give another sport a chance.
If you have a coach out there, and I've seen several, and the coach says, if you come to a coach and says, hey, I'd like to play the other sport, it's in the off season, and the coach goes, yeah, you could play all you want, but I want, just to be clear, don't expect to start on my team. If you ever hear that out there, please go to your AD or your principal and tell them what your coach has said. I think that's the worst thing you can ever tell a kid.
Well, okay, well, let's grab a break and let's finish that conversation. We're going to go to break. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's a Cars Friday. You
are in the zone.
On a 10 Tavern Friday, I want to thank Amy Bo Peep. She's down here. She's on location today. Always looking for different recipes. That's what Amy Bo Peep does here at 10 Tavern.
And I'll tell you what, she's come up with a lot of them because, again, I haven't had anything here that I've disliked. Everything here on this menu. And there's always, you can go to any place and always say, hey, I like this, this, and that, but I might not like that so much. I haven't had anything here that I could throw a rock at or pull a Band-Aid on.
come on over here and just ask for Amy Bo Peep. She loves when people come in and go, are you Amy Bo Peep? Just tell. I mean, we want to make her famous here. Also, make your reservations for Christmas is coming up. You need a place for a party up to the table right next door. It's their catering room. It holds 40, and the food is off the charts with a full bar. It got you all set.
You got plenty of people here already, Nick, getting ready to fire over to the football game. This is called Friday Night Lights, buddy.
Yeah. Now, has Helena been in the table yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so you're coming soon, I guarantee.
Love to. I think the holidays, and I think, like you said earlier, that place is getting booked, so it's going to be more challenging to find a date that fits your event.
Bottom of the second, and I think the Nationals are up 1-0. And they're going to be bottom. It's the top of the second, 1-0 Nationals over America's team Cardinals. Just a hung a curveball. We got the TVs on. We got a lot of Buchanan Bear fans in here. I don't see any Clovis West fans in right now.
Well, Clovis West fans are probably tailgating over at the stadium right now, getting ready to do that tri-tip.
Okay. I do want to thank the Lindsay Cardinals. Matt Medonka sent me a nice Lindsay Cardinals sweatshirt. And thank you, Lindsay Cardinals. I'm going to wear it tomorrow on the First String Sports Show.
That's the thing. All you people out there that want the Pag Meter, send Pag Meter an XL, XL from your school, and he will wear it
all
on
over
Saturday mornings. And that's a live shot because you filmed that through Facebook, right?
Facebook and Twitter.
So you figured all that out now.
First String's got their Facebook going. Pag Meter's got the Twitter. I got a radio face. But you know what? It works.
You need to have me there.
Well,
I can help you out.
We can't get
TV
you off
side.
The couch on a Saturday.
Yeah,
come
true.
On.
Probably
especially
true.
Before basketball season.
That's true.
Talking before the break, we're sharing athletes when in high school. Because if I'm a high school coach, I see both sides. The administration expects me to win. I don't want to share athletes. Some coaches will say they want you to share athletes, but deep inside, they want to win and make it look good. So if I'm sharing let's say Bobby Boy's fiance Betsy's playing sports. I don't want to share Betsy, but I'll say I do. How does that work?
Just like you said. It's like, I mean, these coaches are going to – and nothing against any coaches out there, but if I was a coach, I'd probably be in the same boat. I mean, you're trying to attract that kid to play for you. And with everything that's going on out there, Nick, with these club sports, it's a year-round – these sports are year-round. You could play basketball, or before you wouldn't even see they wouldn't even be a basketball. They'd be locked up in some storage room someplace in school, and you wouldn't even know where they were.
Right.
No kids are coming into the gym for open gyms at night and the workouts. It wasn't common. So we've evolved into this one sport deal. And again, like I said earlier, if you have a kid that is excelling well at that one sport, and you feel like that kid's got opportunities to go on and play in college, because, I mean, every parent that's out there, especially the crazy ones like me, you know, your goal for your kid is to give them the kind of environment and put them into a situation where they can be successful. But some people get caught up in the fact that these coaches are telling them things. They're good players, but they're not the super players, and they're probably not going to play at the next level. Those are the kids that I feel like should be playing all the sports, even though I feel like my kids should have played more sports, and they didn't. I had one that played three sports throughout high school. You don't see that happen very often. I have a son that plays basketball right now. I want him to play one more. What sport is that? Well, let's move into volleyball, because we just chatted about volleyball a few minutes ago. Volleyball and basketball, very similar type of an athlete. You're talking about on the girls' side here, of course. You got taller girls play volleyball, and of course they're on the basketball court as well. How do you choose the one you want to play? Both of them, it's like baseball and basketball. It's difficult to mesh into that because you're missing out. They've already started practicing baseball. Basketball season isn't even over yet, right?
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So football and baseball are perfect because most baseball – thought there was something going on outside.
Well, the sun's out there beating up on my
neck.
No
kidding. Baseball, you talk to a lot of college recruiters, and they love football players because it makes them mentally tougher. That's a perfect sport. Oh, looking work at the – I like it. So you got football players. Football's over in the end of November. Baseball starts in January. Perfect fit. You're right. If you're playing basketball – and you're playing football, you're going to miss out on how many weeks, because you're going to show up Well, unless you're really good, because if you're good, you give me about a week and I'm ready to rock and roll. But you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. So that's what I'm talking about.
Little Jimmy is going to get beat out at the pitching because he didn't go to workouts because he's playing something else, right?
Yeah.
So these kids stress out. They stress about missing things, you know. I got a daughter that ran cross country, and she played basketball too, and those ones mesh into each other. You go do your cross country workout, then all of a sudden you run over and you go to open gym or whatever's going on in basketball. Well, you better have some time available to maybe study a little bit, right? That kind of goes into school, I think, occasionally, is to study and get good grades so you can qualify for college if, in fact, you end up excelling enough on the playing field to earn that scholarship.
Brett texts us in. He's one of the top of athletic gentlemen we have in Fresno Unified School District. He's my buddy, Brett Maher, and he says, multi-sport athletes, a fact that is better for kids. Much data on problems with sports. It's really sports burnout, overuse injuries. In other words, if you play one sport, you're going to get burnt out. But
I don't go with that.
Why is that?
Because I have kids that played one sport and they didn't get burned out. I speak from experience. My kids, yeah. Do I wish my kids would have played more sports? Yeah. It doesn't matter what I wish. But I can ask my kid right now if he's burned out. I can ask my oldest daughter who played all the way through.
Well, I think the difference of your kids were superstar basketball players.
But that's what I just told you.
Yeah.
You got to understand if the kid is good enough to play at the next level, you got to recognize that and you got to understand it. That's okay at that point. But that's what gets these kids. You talk about burnout. If you played a college sport, if any of you guys played a college sport out there, you want to talk about burnout. Once you get to college, you better be prepared for that sport because it is a job. And sorry to tell everybody this. Yes, it's a job in high school too because it's an everyday deal, maybe multiple practices a day, plus a trainer, weight training, all that. Does that sound crazy? Yeah, of course it sounds crazy. That's where we're at with sports.
You look at a lot of the recruiters. I know football and basketball for sure. Baseball as well. They look at the high school and, well, you're right. Well, how's the weightlifting program? Because you go to Donnie Arak's program at Bullard, it's a full-on college program. You go to some other schools, they're not used to that. When they get to that level, the coach has got to take a chance with that kid. They're not, well, we don't really have weight room in the morning. Well, you're going to get ready, son. And all of a sudden they're going, I wasn't ready for this. Because people don't realize, and you tell me, it starts once you sign that dotted line. People think, oh, I can relax now. I just signed a college deal. That's when it really starts.
Do you know how many kids come home from college because they can't handle that? Because they weren't
prepared? What is the percentage? I'd love to know.
Well, you only hear about the ones that are doing something. The ones that come home or do something else, they don't call you or tweet you. Hey, can you put Johnny on your Twitter account because they left the college? You don't hear about those people, and that's fine. But if you talk to a lot of the people that are out there that have been through that experience before, a lot of them will tell you the kids just weren't prepared. Maybe they were homesick. Put a little factor that in there as well. But they weren't prepared for the nature of that sport, meaning they start 6 o'clock in the morning. You go and you go home. You go to class, and you show up at noon, go to the ice bath and do some cryo, come back in the afternoon, do another class, then show up at 4 or 5 or 6, maybe do individual workouts with your coach during the off season. Then you move into the season. Then you start getting on airplanes. You start flying around, go playing games and trying to figure out how to study when you're on the road. I mean, that is a major deal, especially for a 18-year-old right away from high school into college. So you better
study hall.
You better be prepared. You better be prepared.
So they have you from about, what, 6 a.m. until 10 p.m.?
It's like you said, it's a job.
It's a job.
And you're not getting paid overtime.
If you're going to get a scholarship, it's a job.
That's why I say that, you know, pay the athletes. I mean, give them more money. I have no problems with that. I see what these kids go through. I see what they have, where they are. They're there in the summers. It's where the cafeterias are closed down. They're trying to find food. They're trying to cook. How much time do you have to do all these things? Nobody has any idea how much time goes into sports. And people think athletes get all these privileges. Well, they're part of the school. They're promoting the school. They're marketing the school. I mean, even on a higher level, when you get these rock star athletes that go on, people watch these people. That's what get kids to go to schools. Alabama, for example, a great football team, right? Well, you think that football team is going to attract students? Of course. So, yeah, should those athletes get privileges? Absolutely. Should they get a class over you? Absolutely. There's no questions at it. They earned the right for that to happen for them.
Well, and I think that's the big question, too, is if you look at these Alabamas of the world, do they really care about your education? Or is it more of a job to get money, get butts in the seats, and win football games?
Well, it depends on how long the athletes sit there. I mean, they want both, right? They want to have some kind of a graduation rate. There's no question. But this one-and-done deal in basketball, I mean, that doesn't do some programs any good. But those programs, and that's what you're referring to, like on the football side with Alabama, does Kentucky care?
No.
No, Calipari doesn't care if you graduate. His whole thing when he's recruiting you, if you're that good and you're going to go to Kentucky.
He wants you in the NBA.
The question from the parent's mouth is, are you going to be able to get my kid done in 1 year and off the NBA? That's what the question is. It's not about, hey, this Johnny wants to major in business administration. Can you hook me up with a business person? Not to say the kid's not capable of that, but at that level, that five-star athlete, that is the goal. It's beyond college, even though they haven't even hit the college classroom yet, Nick. Their goal is to play professionally.
But how many of the 3 and 4? Let's talk about the 3 and 4-star athletes when we come back. We are live at 10 Tavern, brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. We'll be right back at 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
If that doesn't get you ready for high school football right there.
I just ruined everybody's eardrums.
Yeah, right, you don't ever do that again.
No, never.
Top of the third, the Nationals lead the world champion America's Team Cardinals 1-0. We'll keep you updated on that, of course, tonight.
You see America's Team?
They're America. Come on. St. Louis is America's team. Everyone loves the Cardinals. If you don't like the Cardinals, then there's something.
So you said
really,
everyone. Is that – I'm not included in that? Or
are you a Cardinals fan yet?
No.
We got room on the wagon. So let's look a little high school football real fast. Friday Night Lights is always a special time of the year. My game of the night, the Hiroshi Cardinals at Fowler. I'll be at the Red Cats. Hopefully the pregame show's around 7. By the time I get out there, we figure out where I'm going. Eat my tri-tip. You know what it's like, Nick. I'll be out there. It's a big one. West Sequoia League Showdown. Other games, big loss for the Kingsburg Vikings. Jet Jackson, one of the top quarterbacks in the section, is out with a kneecap injury. He's lost for the year.
Ugh.
Kingsburg was 6-0.
Horrible.
Their season just changed right there.
Yep.
To take on a hot, red-hot, who's won 4 in a row, CVC, and I feel so bad. This kid is such a great kid, and I don't even know what to say. The other big injury, Albert Rigetti, Jake Steeles, I think he's the best player in the Central Coast. Sprained ankle, could be out 4 to 6 weeks, really bad sprain. That's going to hurt Rigetti for a little while. So those are two huge injuries going in. Selma tonight travels to Dinuba. Big one. Selma's off to a 5-1 start. Dinuba might be getting a win over the forfeit of Edison, but Dinuba needs to bring some defense, Nixter. And if you haven't been to Dinuba game yet, before the game, everyone lines up the cars with the flashlights as the teams come in. Oh,
see,
it's one of the greatest traditions of all time.
That's the high school football. Tell me about, wait a minute, real quick. I know you got to take off on this, but just how many of those kids down there in Dinu would probably go both ways for that team?
Probably about 8 of them.
Yeah.
6 to 8. But so, it's really a good program. And
yeah.
Selma, Matt Logue doing a great job. We'll talk the aftermath tomorrow on the Pag Meter wrap-up show. And I also want to give congratulations to our student athletes of the week. Mac Delana from San Joaquin Memorial on the male side. The female, Riley Gould from the Bullard Knights, tennis player. And at the end of the year, you're going to be here too. We're going to have a big reception and find out who the male and female athletes of the year are from the It'll be the Pag Meter First String Sports 940 ESPN Athletes of the Year.
How exciting.
It is really going well. And everyone we have getting the job done in the classroom. Tonight, CMAC big game. The Sanger Apaches take on the Bullard Knights at Ratcliffe. This can be a good one, too.
That's going to be that's going to have some fire attached to that, Nick.
Last year, Bullard beat Sanger 38-36.
Sanger always brings it, you know. Last couple years, though, right? They're a little bit down from where they were in the past.
But they're good this year.
So they're back.
Memorial takes on Madera South at Madera. I don't know how the Stallion match up with the Panthers. This team is legit. Just with Jalen McMillan and Mac Delana, and they've got talent everywhere, and It's just not a good matchup.
Mac Delaney is on his way to Fresno State next year.
And mark it down. He will be one of the team captains by the time it's junior, senior year.
He's one of those type of kids. Yeah, that's great.
Let's keep it going. Wood Lake at Corcoran will be a big one. That'll be a big physical game. What else we got tonight? Let's go. Let's keep going on the track. Right down the road, Clovis West at Buchanan. Kendall Milton, I think he struggled last week against Central. Does he go off against Clovis West? And could Clovis West contain him?
Well, that defense is playing pretty good right now for Clovis West, but they haven't seen somebody like him yet either.
And Buchanan can't throw the ball, so I would think Kendall likes to bounce.
I know how I would coach that game.
How would you do it?
Well, what would you do? You just said it. They can't pass. They lost their quarterback. They're kind of in and out on that side of the fence. So I would you'd be keying on that quarter on that running back.
I don't know who the quarterback is, but when you have a shoulder injury like DJ Stevenson had, I don't see him coming back this week. If it could be Ian Kirby, the sophomore, the kid can throw and he's green, but he's got potential to be very, very good. Clovis North takes on Clovis East. Can Clovis North handle that wing tee offense of Clovis East?
Coming off that loss to Clovis West, I think Clovis North goes down to Clovis East.
I said it all week long. I'll say it one of the last time. Clovis East got screwed last week on a bad call. It was a touchdown with a minute to go in the game. Here's my problem, and even in basketball, if you're going to run 50 yards across the field and overrule a play, you better be 100% right, and he wasn't. And he went incomplete, no good. Come to find out, it was a touchdown. Clovis wins. But the beautiful thing about our area, Nick, is it doesn't matter. You'll get to play again, and I have a feeling the CIF will make those two play because it was a packed house, two great crowds. You watch.
I'm going to write that down.
Write it down. And they will somehow play in the first round because there will be a lot of money.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Of course, last night Central beat Clovis. 20th straight track win.
I don't know isn't Clovis supposed to have a pretty decent defense, right? They got some rock star back there. I mean, he's got a kid. They got a five-star defender back there, and Keanu Williams at Clovis High.
He's a defensive end.
Yes.
But Central's got plenty of speed there.
It's got more personnel, don't they?
Yeah. Another big one tonight at Garces, Bakersfield. Paul Gola is the former Bakersfield Drillers coach. He's playing his old team, Emotions, tonight. So it's not at Bakersfield, but he's still playing the kids that he helped grow up.
Sure.
What do you think of that? Because Matt was like, say, well, I did the same thing. You see kids across. I seen him since he was in fifth grade.
Well, you're going to be sitting in there and you're going to be thinking about that. To be able to try to remove that from your mind and concentrate on just getting your team prepared, that's challenging for a coach like that, I would think.
Yeah,
I'd be thinking on both sides. I'm sure you would be too.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I think it's Bakersfield's just not the same. They don't run that triple option anymore. They spread it out. They don't have that mystique. Same with Bullard. And we said Bullard doesn't run the ball like he used to. Can they get back to that good old style running game? They want to spread it out. Boy, more and more Buchanan fans are coming in here, Nick. I don't see any Clovis West.
Well, yeah, and it is a home game for Buchanan tonight, even though they're playing at Buchanan.
Yeah, we got some really interesting games tonight. Of course, Minarets up the hills has to host the number one team in Division 5, Carruthers, and that's going to be a physical game. Can Minarets, that front seven, Bobby Staley is his name. He's the running back for Carruthers. He's an animal. He's going to come right at you. And how about Yosemite? I'm really liking the Yosemite Badgers. They travel to Kerbin tonight. Nick Harper, remember the name, last week, 244 yards. Wow.
So you're going to find out what he's about tonight.
I think Kerbin's got their hands full. That's good. They're red hot as well. And I'm just really impressed with the Buchanan Bear fans coming in here right now. We got some Memorial fans. We got Buchanan here. Fresno State Bulldogs right in front of us. I'd like to see. Tomorrow, Fresno State taking on Air Force. You got that good old-fashioned style offense of Air Force. Can we
handle elevation, it? High elevation.
We haven't been there.
So there's a lot of things, but tune in on that one, Nick, because it's going to be a good one. And if Bulldogs get through that, they come back here next week on Friday Night Lights and play the UNLV.
I want to thank Bobby Boy back in the studio. Nick, great job. I want to thank Jim O'Brien, Tyler Ortman, and we'll – coming up in a little while, I'm heading out to Fowler. We'll have Friday Night Lights. Join the Pag Meter on Twitter. I'll keep you updated all night long. Have a great weekend, everybody. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
And what does Matt say?
Get the game!
Can't go.